says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Hey, serious question this morning. Do you want to be wise? Do you really want to be wise? It begins with the fear of the Lord. Well, good morning, and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I want to talk to you today about wisdom. You know, today is Wednesday, March the 1st. And so at the first of the month, I restart in my reading the book of Proverbs. There are 31 Proverbs, and one for each day of the month, when the month has 31 days, obviously. But Proverbs is a book that is designed by God to help us gain wisdom. It starts off this way, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Solomon was the third king in Israel. There was Saul, and then there was David and Solomon's son, or David's son Solomon. "So the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion." If you want to be wise, I would encourage you to read the book of Proverbs. Read a proverb each day and ask God, "Lord, give me wisdom as I read Proverbs." Now, people have had the question, it's a good question, what exactly is wisdom? Wisdom's different from knowledge. Wisdom, as somebody once said, knowledge is knowing how to take things apart, but wisdom is knowing how to put things back together. And so wisdom is applied knowledge. And as one person defined wisdom, a great definition, wisdom is seeing the world from God's perspective. Now, Solomon, in his great prayer, asked the Lord for a wise and discerning heart. And he didn't ask for riches, he didn't ask for the life of his enemies, he didn't ask for a long life for himself. He asked God for a wise and discerning heart so that he would be a good king and could lead God's people. And God was so pleased with that he asked for wisdom, that God gave him wisdom and breadth of mind like the sand that is on the seashore. There's never been a mortal man wiser than Solomon. And so we can pray for wisdom. The Bible tells us that in James chapter 1. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect to receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Hey, if you are facing a decision and you don't know what to do, you pray and say, "God, give me wisdom. I need to have your perspective on this situation." And the Lord says, "I will give you wisdom if you ask in faith without any doubting." But the undergirding of all the prayer for wisdom is a fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the starting point for wisdom. Now, I did a little study this morning about the fear of the Lord, and I just put into my Bible search program. I have a great program that I like. It's called eSword. And so I typed in the fear of the Lord. And how often does that phrase in the New American Standard show up? 25 times the fear of the Lord is in the scripture. 23 times in the Old Testament, 2 times in the New Testament. The fear, or fear the Lord. So the fear of the Lord 25 times, fear the Lord 29 times, all in the Old Testament, fear him 23 times, fear God 18 times, the fear of God 3 times. So 98 times are we told in Scripture about fearing God. I've had people get on me on Twitter, and if I talk about the fear of the Lord, and this one particular lady that is just a troll, and she's, you know, coming at me all the time. And she's like, you know, why do you talk about the fear of the Lord? We love God. We don't fear God. And, you know, I've just gotten to where I don't even engage with her, because it's like, that's pointless. When a wise man has a controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man either rages or laughs, and there is no rest, the scripture says. So she doesn't want to ask questions for information. She's not seeking anything. She wants to just have an argument. And so a gentle answer turns away wrath. And Proverbs 15:1. So I just don't engage with her. But people ask that question, well, aren't we supposed to love God? Why are we to fear God if we are to love God? Can I really love God if I'm afraid of God? Well, the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. It's standing in awe of God. It's recognizing that God is God, the great God of the universe, the God who spoke the worlds into existence, the God who is far greater than your mind can comprehend, and the God who is a terrifying being in a sense. We don't have to, he doesn't want us to be afraid of him. I love what Moses said to the people when they were so afraid because they were on the mountain, and or the Lord was coming on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and you know, there was thunder and lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain was smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance, because our God is a consuming fire, as the scripture says in Hebrews. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so they were very afraid. And they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us or we will die. And Moses said to the people, Exodus 20:20, a great verse, do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin. So don't be afraid of God, but fear God. And those things are different. The fear of the Lord is standing in awe of God, of who he is. I love this definition of the fear of the Lord, you know, because you say, well, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord, but then the Bible also tells us to fear the Lord. Are those in conflict with one another? And the answer is no. What is the fear of the Lord? It's love on its knees in surrender and awe to God. And that is the fear of the Lord, recognizing that God is God, and you and I are not God, and we are to respond to God. We are to say to God, yes, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. As Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, he sums up the whole book. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For the Lord will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. We're going to have to give an account, every single one of us. We're going to have to give an account of our lives one day to God. And Jesus said, do not fear him who is able to destroy the body, but fear him who is able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell. You fear God because God is the sovereign. He's the king, the blessed and only sovereign, King of kings and Lord of lords. And we stand in awe of him and we surrender our lives to him. Now, we live in a world where people are very learned, very educated, and they are so ignorant of biblical wisdom. They don't see life from God's perspective. We read about these folks in Romans chapter 1, and I tell you, in the world we live in today, we go back to Romans 1 often because we're living in a Romans 1 society. And so what does Romans 1 tell us? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They hold back the truth. They don't like the truth because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Everyone has the witness of creation that tells them there is a God. Everyone knows just fundamentally that if there is a creation, there had to be a creator, that things don't just come into being out of nothing. Out of nothing, nothing comes. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Everyone knows that there's a creation. You walk outside and you see the sky, the grass, the trees, the mountains, the rivers and streams, and you say, okay, where did all this come from? Where did creation come from? It came from the Creator. So we have the witness of creation that says there's a creator. But that says that which is known about God is evident not only to them, but within them. We have an inner voice, the witness of conscience, that tells us that God is real. And it goes on to say in Romans 1:21, for even though they knew God, not to know him in a personal way, it's not a salvation way, they knew about God because of conscience and creation. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So you have people who fear the Lord and seek the Lord and call upon the Lord, and God gives those people wisdom, the ability to see life from God's perspective. And then you have those who reject God and they profess to be wise, and God says, yeah, they're just fools. And I love that word for fool in the Greek, moreno. That's where we get our English word moron from. Professing to be wise, they became morons. Our universities are filled with educated, learned morons because they've rejected God. And when you reject God, what does the Lord say? Psalm 14:1, Psalm 53, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The fool, the Nabal, that's a morally perverse person. It's a person who is corrupt. It's a person who has committed abominable deeds. And what does this person say? Well, there is no God. They say there is no God because they don't want there to be a God. If there is a God, then they are going to be held accountable for their lifestyle, and they don't want that. So they just say there is no God. So if there is no God, I can do whatever I want. And you know, if you're a true atheist, there's really no true atheist, because the Bible says that in Romans 1, as we just read, you have a conscience that says to you there is a God, and the voice of conscience. So there's no true atheists, but there are those who say they're atheists, and they don't want the idea of God to be true, so they kick their conscience to death to say there is no God, there is no God, there is no God, so I can do whatever I please. And if there really is no God, there is nothing good. There is no good or evil. Anything goes, survival of the fittest. And we could say that the atrocities of Adolf Hitler, well, if there is no God, there are no atrocities because there's no evil. That's just a man-made thing. And so people can do whatever they want. Well, we're talking today about the fear of the Lord. We're talking about wisdom, true wisdom. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we will open the phone lines to talk about this important subject together. I'd love to hear from you, 888-589-8840. Don't go away.
persecuted believers in Asia, they love their enemies and they count it all joy to suffer for the Lord. This is Bible League International. Abir is a former Islamic leader in Bangladesh. When he became a believer, he was beaten, verbally abused, his home was vandalized, he was forced to move to another city, and he was labeled a traitor. But he holds to the precious promises of God he reads every day in his Bible.
I asked Abir, you were beaten, you were cast out. It's so easy to hate people that do this to you. He said, no, I love them.
Most of us here in America cannot relate to the level of persecution that Christians like Abir in Bangladesh and others throughout Asia are facing on a daily basis. Let's send them the word of God they need and crave to be able to endure and persevere. And that's why we're holding this campaign, Fan the Flame. $5 sends a Bible, $100 sends 20, every gift matched. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org. Sendbiblesnow.org. And God bless you for caring.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show. It's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net. Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you call Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself, because once I called Trinity, they took care of me and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders, and they are a Christian-based company. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Have you read your proverb today? This is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we began the program talking about reading proverbs, a proverb a day. I was told in college, a proverb a day keeps the devil away. That's just a funny little saying, but a proverb a day will help you to be wise, because Proverbs was written to help us see God, life from God's perspective. It is a snapshot, little pithy sayings. It's almost like little tweets that come out of the writer of Proverbs, mostly Solomon, not all Solomon, but mostly Solomon. And he tells us about life, how life is set up, and you know, how to be blessed in life, how to go the right way in life, how to make decisions that will result in love and joy and peace and good things going God's way as opposed to going your own way, and lots of contrast between the wise man and the foolish man. Well, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. That undergirds everything in the Christian life, understanding that God is God and you are not God. And, you know, the first temptation that came to a human being, Genesis chapter 3, the devil begins to question the word of God, gets Eve to start questioning the word of God, the character of God, the goodness of God. And then he says, hey, you know what? If you eat of this fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Interesting, because that's what caused Lucifer to become Satan. He wanted to be God. He wanted to usurp God and be in the place of God. I don't want to depend upon you, God. I want to be my own God. And that's what is at the heart of sin. We want to be our own God. We want what we want when we want it. And we want to call the shots. We want to be captain of our own ship. So the starting point for everything is recognizing that God is God. And we're not God. We're his slaves. We're his servants. And what does a slave do? A slave bows the knee and says, "Yes, master." And that's what we are to do with the Lord. "Yes, master, not my will, but yours be done. I surrender my life to you." And I remember as a 17-year-old high school senior, I didn't understand all that about surrendering like that. I just knew that I was a sinner and I wasn't going to heaven. I desperately needed Jesus to save me. And I got down on my knees and I just prayed that simple prayer from my heart. "Lord, would you save me? Save me, Jesus." And he did. But that was a surrender point for me. I recognized that God was God and I wasn't God, and I didn't call the shots. He called the shots. So in Romans chapter 1, you have people that profess to be wise, but they're fools, they're morons, because even though they knew about God, because God, that which is known about God is evident within them, it's plainly obvious that there is a God, there's a creator who made all this stuff, a creator who made you. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. It's a good point for us to remember. Every time when we have a quiet time, make sure that you honor God as God and give him thanks. But they became foolish in their speculation, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became morons. Now, think about the people in the universities, the people that are so learned, that have degrees, you know, after their names, and they've done all this study, and they're teaching our young people that men can become women and women can become men. How moronic is that? How anti-scientific is that? That obviously goes against the scripture because God made them male or female. But it goes against science because any honest scientist or doctor will tell you your chromosomal makeup is XY male or XX female, and it's written on every cell of your body. And you can mutilate your outer appearance, but you can't change your chromosomal makeup. You are who God made you, and you can't change that. We don't tell God who we are. God tells us who we are, and we can fight against that, or we can yield to that, and we can recognize that God is God, and we're not God, and our job is to submit to God, not to fight God. As someone well said, I think my friend Mark Lanier quoted this from somebody else, but your arms are too short to fight with God, to box with God, and you're going to just be found kicking against the goads. It's never going to work. Now, maybe you saw the documentary that was done by Matt Walsh. It was called "What is a Woman?" And he went out and he just began asking that question. He asked that question to physicians that were performing, giving out drugs and performing gender reassignment surgeries. He asked it of college professors. He asked it for people in marches and things like that. What is a woman? A woman is a woman. Well, that doesn't answer the question. What is a woman? Well, it's somebody that identifies as a woman. Well, what are they identifying as? This one professor says, well, they're identifying as a woman. He's like, you're arguing in a circle. You're not defining your terms. He asked one guy on the street, I thought this was so funny, because if a man can be a woman, a biological male can become a woman, then we're outside of the realm of reality. then what I guess you could say, and this is hitting our young people big time, and it's coming into the public school system with grade schoolers, and they're telling these very impressionable young people that, you know, hey, maybe you're really supposed to be a girl. You're assigned the gender of boy at birth, but maybe you're really a girl, and let's not tell your parents this, and all that kind of garbage. Well, if that can be true, then where do you draw the line? Because you could be anything. You know, if a man can say, well, I identify as a woman and you have to call me a woman and here are my preferred pronouns, well, then could I identify as a 25-year-old black man? I mean, that's obviously outside the realm of reality, but reality's thrown out the window. You just create your own reality. I'm an 85-year-old Asian woman and I need to get Social Security. I'm a caterpillar. I'm this, I'm that. Where do you draw the line? And here's the thing. When you enter into a thought process or you go down the road of fantasy, you are starting to have a mental disorder. And so Matt Walsh brought that out in What is a Woman? I want to play this clip from that documentary where he asks a man on the street this question.
Are you asking a gay man as to what it means to be a woman? You should be asking women what it means to be a woman, especially trans women,
I'm asking all kinds of people. Can anyone have an opinion about it?
Only people who are women. Gay men don't know nothing about what it means to be a woman.
Have you told gay men here in San Francisco that they're not allowed to talk about this?
No. But it's not like I come around and say what a gay man is allowed to be.
So you're saying if you're not a woman, then you shouldn't have an opinion.
Where does a guy get a right to say?
Women only know what women are.
Are you a cat?
No.
Can you tell me what a cat is?
I thought that was a classic line. Are you a cat? No. Well, can you tell me what a cat is? I mean, I think we all know what a cat is. You remember the nominee for the Supreme Court was asked that question. Can you tell me what a woman is? No, I can't. I'm not a biologist. I can't tell you what a woman is. Well, I'm not a biologist. I can tell you what a woman is. I'm not a veterinarian. I can tell you what a cat is. And I know the difference between a cat and a dog. I think anyone probably over the age of 3 knows the difference between a cat and a dog. They know the difference between a boy and a girl. Those are just normal things that we understand. As I was listening to a clip from Tucker Carlson just this morning, he said, you know, we never asked the question, what is a woman, to a Supreme Court nominee, because it was such a no-brainer. Why would you ask that question? Yet here we are today, professing to be wise, they became morons, and she wouldn't answer the question. I can't answer the question. Why? I'm not a biologist. Good night. I mean, I remember taking biology when I was in, I think, 7th or 8th grade, and we talked about XX and XY. Bill Nye, the science guy, back when he really did science, back in the 90s, had a little piece about boys and girls, and he talked about XX and XY. He said, you're one of the two. They're not 75 genders or whatever we have today. Interesting, somebody put on Twitter the other day, they said, isn't it funny, since there's so many genders, according to those who are professing to be wise but are really fools, there's so many genders, but when people have a surgery, they either have a surgery to become male, you know, externally, or female. They don't ever have a surgery to become non-binary, because that is nothing. That's just made up. So in the documentary, What is a Woman?, Matt Walsh talks to a doctor about this thing called body integrity identity disorder. Have you ever heard of that? Body integrity identity disorder. Now, that's a mental disorder that some people have where there's a mismatch in the mind, your mental body image, and your physical body. And people that have this mental disorder, body integrity identity disorder, they have an intense desire to amputate a major limb or sever their spinal cord to become paralyzed, because they say, well, that will get me in sync with how I see myself. My mind and my body are not in sync. So if I do this, then I'll be in sync. Now, he asked this, Matt Walsh asked this doctor, would you perform that surgery? No, I wouldn't perform that surgery. I wouldn't cut off a person's healthy arm or a person's healthy leg or sever somebody's spinal cord. Who would do that? Only a ghoul, a butcher would do that. And Matt Walsh said, do you see the correlation here between that and mutilating young boys and girls? Because they say that, well, I think in my mind, I'm the other sex. So let us help you with drugs and let us help you with surgery. It's no different than the body integrity identity disorder. It's no different between the doctor that would say, oh, okay, let me perform the surgery to cut off your healthy arm. Let us perform the surgery to make you paraplegic. That's the stuff of Nazi Germany concentration camps. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Hey, if you want to be wise, then live in the fear of the Lord always. Recognize that God is God. Don't fight God, but yield to God. Don't question God's word. That's what the devil does. Very first thing out of the devil's mouth to a human being, Genesis 3, verse 1, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? When we enter into questioning what God says, questioning what God does, the God of the universe, the God who spoke worlds into existence, you've heard me say before, you know, the smartest of us, the ones with the most brain power, have a teacup mind compared to God. God's like the Pacific Ocean, and we're like a teacup, the smartest of us. And we question God? Lord, why should I believe you? Why, when you say this, why should I take that at face value? You know, who are you who questions his maker, the scripture says? You know, we need to just say, God, you are a good God, and you are the creator, and your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I mean, you have knowledge that I don't have, that I can't possess. You know, when we ask the question, why, God? You know, things happen in our lives. That's a normal question. Why? You know, we wonder, why doesn't God answer the question, why? Because most of the time in Scripture, God doesn't answer us why. Job asked why? Read Job chapter 3 and see how many times he asked God why. God doesn't normally answer the question why. And why is that? I think for a lot of us, it's because most of the time, it's because we wouldn't understand the answer. You know, if your two-year-old asks you a question about quantum physics, how are they going to understand the answer? They can't. They don't have the capacity to understand. So God just says, my child, will you trust me? Will you trust me? And that is really the Bible. If you boil it down to two words, it's God saying to you and me, trust me, trust me. Put your faith and trust in me. I'm a good God. It's impossible for me to lie. And yield your life to me. The conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. The phone number to call when we come back from the break, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you about the fear of the Lord, about true wisdom, the world's false wisdom and God's true wisdom. Call in and let's talk.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
What could healthcare sharing mean to you? Well, if you're like a lot of people who switch to MediShare, honestly, it's a huge relief. Like for the parents of an 8-year-old girl fighting cancer, it's confidence they have in having a community praying for them and paying their medical bills so they can focus on just being there and loving their daughter. Or for a young couple getting ready to welcome their first child into the world, it's being able to be in the moment, getting to enjoy this great gift from God without worrying about medical bills. And it's a relief these days to know you can actually save some money on something. The typical family saves $500 a month by switching to MediShare. And it's a ministry. When you call them, you talk to actual humans who want to help you. So that's a relief too. MediShare has been around 30 years. It's affordable, reliable healthcare. It's a great time to switch to. Call now. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
In this new world, on this new day, we rejoice that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Preborn has been preparing for this moment for the past 16 years by positioning their clinics in the top 6 abortion states where 50% of abortions occur. Sadly, 5 of these 6 states will continue to abort babies at an even greater level. And since the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of abortions, babies are even more at risk. Preborn pregnancy clinics are completely dependent on you as they offer life-saving ultrasounds and the life-saving gospel to moms and babies in crisis.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
To learn how you can be a part of rescuing babies' lives and sharing the heart of Jesus, go to preborn.com or dial #250 and say the keyword baby.
Have you read your proverb today? 31 proverbs in the book of Proverbs, one for each day of the month. And a proverb a day keeps the devil away. A proverb a day helps you see life from God's perspective. Well, welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. The phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to talk to you. And if you have a question or a comment concerning wisdom and the fear of the Lord, let your voice be heard. I wanted to read a little bit from Proverbs 1 because this is the Lord's invitation. He says, "Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, O simple ones, how long will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." Well, what a deal. But he says, "Because I called, and you refused. I stretched out my hand, and no one paid attention." Can you imagine? The Lord says that. "All day long I've stretched out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people. I called, and what was the response? You refused," God says. "I stretched out my hand, and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel, and you did not want my reproof. So what happens as a result? I will even laugh at your calamity, God says. I will mock when your dread comes, like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. Oh, we desperately need to listen to God and yield to God and go God's way, because God is a good God. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Well, we have Melvin on the line from Virginia. Melvin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
I was just going to tell you a short story. I was 17 years old once, sitting in the back of a car with two guys with a case of beer, and they started talking about God. The first guy said, I believe there's a God. I don't think he cares what we do. The second guy said, I don't think there's a God. The third guy in the back seat didn't say anything. He just had to guzzle his beer to keep from thinking about God, because I told myself, I'll become a Christian when I get older. Well, the parties got longer, the sin got deeper, and pretty soon you're like the last chapter of Proverbs, last end of Proverbs 1. Oh, I want God now to get me out of this sin. But then, you didn't answer when I called. What are you going to do now when I don't speak to you? And that's the way it went. And, the fool says that, if you take that verse where it says the fool says, no, there is no God, you take that italicized word out, and what they're really saying is no to God. No,
right.
No, God, you're speaking, but no, I'm not going to hear. And that's where I ended up. No voice now. So that's a warning to other people. If God speaks, you better move, because you're not guaranteed another opportunity.
Well,
you hear a lot.
Yeah. So Melvin, but you've responded to the Lord now, right?
There's no voice. There's no voice there. You see what I'm saying?
How old are you?
There's no conviction. I was 17 then. I'm 75 now.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you want to have a relationship with the Lord?
Well, you have to be convicted first. You have to have that. I don't know how to explain it. Well, you know, the Bible, in another psalm, it says, Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name.
Right.
So God has to do it. So I just keep praying, you know what? Maybe one day.
Yeah.
That conviction. So if anybody goes to hell, it's their own fault.
Well, I totally agree with that. I'm just concerned about you, Melvin, because I know that the Lord loves you, and he does. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. God doesn't want to judge. He wants to save. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. And so I would encourage you, and I think what you said is exactly true. You know, you say no, no, no to God, and eventually you don't hear the voice anymore. But I don't know if you're there yet, because there's a reason you called in, and I think that you have it sounds like you have a desire to know the Lord. Is that right?
It's kind of weird. yes and no. I mean, you know, you have to be convicted. That's all I can say. I started going to church, and people say, hey, you ought to be a deacon. And I don't want to tell them, you know, it's not there. But
yeah.
Well, maybe we could talk sometime off the phone, off record.
Yeah. Well, that way I'd like that. Let me encourage you this way. So Acts chapter 10 tells the story of Cornelius, and Cornelius was seeking God, and the Lord says, "And you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And so, Melvin, I would just encourage you to say, you know, God, I don't hear you anymore, and I have a desire to know you and also a desire to not know you, but it sounds like you know that one day you're going to have to give an account of your life to God. You don't want to die and go to hell. And so I would just encourage you to pray and say, Lord, I need to hear your voice. I want to know you, so help me. And just be very honest with the Lord. And Jeremiah 29:13, if you seek me and find me, you'll search for me, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And so, you can reach me at fbctexarkana.org, and I'd love to help you if I can.
Okay, my friend.
All right, Melvin. Thank you for calling in. Well, we have Wilma on the line from North Carolina. Wilma, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello.
Hi.
When I first got saved, in 2016, and then the preacher was talking about fear of the Lord. Well, I'm thinking, fear? How should I fear someone that's supposed to be greatest God and so loving? So then I thought about it many, many days. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. I feared my mom and dad, and I loved them, and I respected them. So then that's how it started coming together. And then I went up to the altar, and I bent down on my knees, and I said, Lord, take control of my life, because I haven't been doing such a good job. And I do fear the Lord. I respect him, I love him, and I fear him. Mm. And that's all I have to say.
Amen. How old are you, Wilma?
68.
68, just a young girl. Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for that word. And that's exactly right. So we give our parents respect and love, and we don't think about fearing our parents. We're not afraid of good parents and loving parents. My kids aren't afraid of me, but they have respect for me. And so how much more should we have that sense of deep respect and the highest honor for God, the one who created it all, the one who sent his son to redeem us? So I love the definition. What is the fear of the Lord? It's love on its knees in surrender and in adoration and awe of God. So thank you for calling in today. Well, we have Jack on the line from Indiana. Jack, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Truck driver, I'm actually calling from Iowa.
Oh, Iowa, I'm sorry.
I'll pray with you, brother. That's fine. It's all the same country. Anyway, Heavenly Father, I come here with Pastor Jeff and just lift up this ministry. I pray you would just continue to guide it. Give him strength and wisdom, Lord, to proclaim your word and truth without fear, dear God. I pray that as he continues to counsel others, that you would give him the patience to do so, dear God. Through our humanly minds, we drift from side to side at times, dear God. I pray you would just surround him with the Holy Spirit. I lift up the previous caller there, dear God, Melvin. I pray against discernment for him. I pray for wisdom and strength. I pray that he would not be deceived by any human words that would be spoken, but I pray you would just surround him now with the Holy Spirit, dear God. Give him the truth, instill in his mind and his heart, dear God, the Holy Spirit that would guide him and protect him to seek a true relationship with you and not of the world, of any false doctrine, any denomination, or any worldly thing, dear God. We just pray against that right now in the name of our Holy Father, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Jack. I appreciate that. And so you're driving a truck?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I drive over the road.
All right.
Currently, I'm from Beaumont, Texas. That's how I found out about AFR, and ever since I found out you guys had the app, so I listen to you 24/7 through the app, listen to you in the mornings here, and listen to you in the afternoons there when I'm not sleeping, you know?
Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate that. Well, if you're ever in Texarkana, come by and see us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would love to. They got a Love's truck stop there currently by, and I could be able to park there and be able to Uber over. That would be great. Love
All
to
right.
see you.
Well, thanks for your prayer, and God bless you, my brother. So we have John on the line from Virginia. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. First-time caller. Great
all
show,
right.
And thank you so much
for
all the wonderful sharing. And you know, you're going through the truth there in the Scripture. So you've got a lot of content there, and then Holy Spirit's guiding you. So thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to share, you know, that I think a lot of people. I was listening to Melvin, and we'll definitely keep him in our prayers. But I think everyone just wants to see. You know, they want to see things from God. They want proof. And I think, you know, the believer will never need proof, and the non-believer will never believe because they don't have faith. And I think that one of the things we've got to realize is that when we ask God to show us proof or give us a sign, you know, we're testing them, and we're not relying on our faith. But yet when we look around and we see the sun come up and we see the beautiful sunrise and the creation that God's made, or our families and our children, relationships, and the good things that God's blessed us with. I think we just need to take a time out every once in a while, sit down and just see that God has truly blessed us with so much. And to sit down and recognize that means so much. And I'd also say that, you know, there is a lot of challenges in the world that are causing suffering, but, you know, we've got to learn that it's okay to suffer if we want to follow in the Lord's steps. And follow him and be a true follower of Christ, we have to be willing to suffer, to redeem ourselves and redeem souls of others. So just such wonderful things you're sharing, and it's just getting the juices flowing inside of me through the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, John. Thank you for that good word, and I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you listening to the program and encouraging my heart. So God bless you, my brother. Well, we're almost out of time, but let's go to James in Oklahoma. James, we got about a minute and a half.
Okay, I'll try to make it quick. I got a question about, I've got a 17-year-old daughter. We brought her up in church and stuff, and one day she just flat out told me, I don't respect you, Dad. How do we turn that around for that she's an only child?
How old is your daughter?
How do we turn that? 17.
17. Why does she not respect you?
Well, when me and my mother first got together, I cheated on her, but she took me back. We worked through it, and I don't know if that's still a scar, or I really don't know.
Yeah.
She's nice to everybody at school, outside the house and stuff, but sometimes the respect level is not there, and they don't know how to get it back.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage you this way, and that's very hurtful, but... oftentimes, our kids are mad at us about something or holding on to something, a way we hurt them. And so if you will own that, find out what that is and own it. So if it was for infidelity to her mom, ask for her forgiveness and let her know that you are a work in progress and that you've confessed that to God and you've gotten that right and that you need her forgiveness, and see if that doesn't... cause some things to start changing in her. So thanks for calling in, James. Well, thanks for listening today. Real Truth for Today. We'll be back again tomorrow. And so go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.